things of sensual nature to enter into the gate of your eyes. God will give you a place of what I call rest, where you're not driven by your sexual lust or whatever else. And you can truly be focused and completely given to the Lord until that day that God chooses to bring a wife to you. We're able to draw outside sexual gratification from only two places, the eyes and the mind. That's the only two places that you can gain sexual satisfaction other than the sexual act. And that is what you view and what you choose to bring up in your memory. What your mental capacity chooses to pull up. And that's why we covered in session one that, you know, your memory is your worst enemy. Because whatever you view, your memory has the very unique ability to pull that image up even years later. Or acts or instances to try to draw. And we discussed last on Tuesday about the efferenting, the hormone that secretes from a male's chemistry. It's just every male has it. That when you see a woman either naked or a woman scantily clad, when you see these things, it causes a chemical high. It causes you to become charged sexually. And a man, arousal and foreplay for a man begins with visual. For women, it's the touch. For men, it's the visual. So you are indulging in sexual sin by just viewing. Just by seeing. You're starting something that is against God's word outside of the confines of marriage. So you draw them from the eyes and the mind. So you must make your mind up to blockade the shipping lanes of the eyes and the mind. And we're going to discover several tactics that are very powerful in helping to empower you as a man to put the guards up. And that's part of it. You know, it takes 3 weeks, 21 days to form a habit. It takes 6 weeks to break a habit. But habits are... How many of you read the poem I put in your box about habits? A habit can be your friend or it can be your enemy. Habits are not all bad. You can learn good habits. And that's how you overcome a bad habit. You replace it with a good habit. You replace it with things that are holy and of God and things that are righteous. But during this time, as you begin to exercise the discipline of putting these measures, these countermeasures I'm going to be giving to you, the first 3 weeks you feel like you're just losing ground. You're wasting your time. But when it finally catches and plugs in and your eyes become committed to the covenant you make with it. We go back to that verse Job, and we're going to be going back to it again and again. I've made a covenant with my eyes. The King James Version says, therefore will I not think upon a maid. The NIV Version says, I will not lustfully look at a girl. That's the covenant you make with your eyes. You say, eyes, you have no right. You have no right to view on that. You have no right to look at the other man's wife. You're a thief if you do. If you view her, you look her body up and down. You have no right to look at that. You have no right if that woman who's not married bends over and her blouse falls open and you see her breasts. You must look away to be a man and to be who God has called you. Because you have no biblical authority to view that. It is not your right. Amen. And when you begin to train your eyes, the day will come that you'll be so disciplined that you will have to force your eyes to view. You'll have to make your eyes behold something. It'll be something that will be because you'll have already put in the habit and the discipline of moving your eyes away from that which is sensual and will cause those hormones to become stirred up. So three perimeters of defense. With our eyes, their eyes. In our minds, your mind. And heart. These are the three areas you got to guard the most. Your eyes, your mind, and your heart. And when the defenses are put in place, then God will empower you. And you will overcome it. For good. Permanently. Everyone say permanently. Let's look at the three perimeters of defense. You must train your eyes to bounce. Everyone say bounce. That's something you've got to become familiar with, the term. You got to bounce the eyes. Say bounce the eyes. You see, when you're walking down the road and that woman in the thong bikini or that woman jogging in her short shorts, you know, when you're allowing your eyes to be undisciplined, and you're allowing, because the Bible says for a man to look on a woman with lust in his heart, that's adultery. That's sin just like being inside of a woman. That's right. That's the Bible says. Absolutely. And when you allow yourself to just partake and take in and you're just getting all this sexual gratification, that's why so many men battle with lust because they fill their eyes and their mind with so much sensual images that their body can't handle it. And it just drives you into sin. When you learn to bounce your eyes away from that, you're setting up the defense. Job 31 and verse 1. I've been covering my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. You must train your mind to evaluate and capture lustful thoughts. So first of all, you'll bounce the eyes. Secondly, you'll train your mind to capture those thoughts. Instead of sitting there dwelling on the images, maybe, I mean, let me tell you something, man. Just because you cut the internet, just because you get rid of the pornographic magazines, just because you don't allow yourself to view videos or TV or something with sensual images does not mean that your mind instantly becomes cleansed. You may have years of images stored up there that you're going to have to battle through. And once you set in place the guard of your eyes, it means to balance your eyes away. Instead of looking at the magazine or looking at the woman or looking someone up and down, you look away. And once you put that guard in place, then you got to start working on your mind. And that is, you've got to evaluate your mind. Every thought that comes along, instead of justifying it and dwelling on it, choose to capture it and say, you don't belong here. I'm sorry, I'm not dwelling on you. I'm not going to think those thoughts. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Then you must train your heart to strengthen affections and commitments towards God, first of all, and to honor and cherish your wife. Let me tell you something. You cannot effectively honor and cherish your wife and have a natural sexual desire towards your wife if you're feeding on all the sexual immorality of this world. I gave the illustration last week about driving home from work, and your wife is cooking that beautiful meal, and you're driving along, and then all of a sudden you said, hey, I'd like some Wendy's French fries. And so you swing into Wendy's, and you get an order of fries, and you think, well, you know what, I think I'm going to get Taco John's on the way too. And you sit there and you indulge on all of this junk food. What's going to happen? By the time you get home, you're going to have to force yourself to eat that wonderful, beautiful meal your wife took time to cook. Because you filled yourself with all that junk food. It's the same way. When you allow your eyes, when you're on the job and that secretary bends over to the files and you check her up and down and you think the thoughts of, boy, you've already got her in bed and you're having sex with her in your mind. Or you sit there and you view the billboards and you pour over them. And maybe you're not reading pornographic magazines, but the softcore stuff that's out there. The stuff in the supermarkets, the stuff that's there. And every single time you view that, you are receiving an amount of sexual gratification in your spirit, in yourself. And by the time you get home, your spirit, your sexual bowl, if I could call it, is so full, you have no room for healthy desire for your wife. But you're going to find, man, when you start doing this, something phenomenal is going to take place. A desire you've forgotten that you could have for that wife of yours is going to come back. Those of you that are single, you're going to find a place of peace that you come into God, where He's going to become mean more to you than anything in this world. And God's going to give you the gift that I believe He gives a single young man to be able to stay pure until that day, if God so chooses to join you to a spouse. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. That may seem impossible. Pastor, I've been battling this for years. You mean if I guard my eyes, the balance of my eyes, if I guard my mind and guard my heart, that's it? So the devil wants you to think it's complicated. It's not complicated, man. It's actually very simple. But you've got to understand the defense mechanism. And it's got to stay in place. Amen. You can't ever trust yourself without that defense mechanism because you're a man. You get into these problems because of our male nature. Period. You'll have freedom from sexual impurity as soon as the defense perimeters are in place. Because of your long struggle with sexual impurity, this attack plan may seem too simple to be effective. But 2 Corinthians 11:3 tells us, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Impurity is a habit. Everyone say a habit. That's all it is. It's a habit. Impurity is not genetic, like the color of your eyes. You see, if it was genetic, then you'd be helpless. You couldn't help yourself. And it'd be unfair for me to stand before you and teach you that you could change. Impurity lives and dies like a habit. When a hot babe walks in, we have the bad habit of looking her up and down. And that's why we're at the mess we're at with sexual temptation. When a glistening jar runs by, we habitually run with her with our eyes. Our eyes habitually rove, feeding on sensual pictures and people. And you know what? Let me tell you how shocked I was when I began to apply these things. I was shocked at how often I would allow myself to view these things. Because when I began to discipline myself not to, it was like I didn't realize how much I had let my guards down. And I was letting myself partake and view things that was not my biblical right to see. And it wasn't aware until I began to discipline myself to balance my eyes away from those things. And I began to find myself 20, 25, 30 times throughout the day. And you'll find the same thing too. Amen. As you begin to discipline yourself to put these defense mechanisms in place. Our eyes habitually rove, feeding on sensual pictures and people. So now, let me tell you something. Plan for six, everyone says 6 weeks. Plan for 6 weeks of the battle, no matter what. And no matter what happens, stay in the back. That means once we start this, which we're going to start this tonight, plan to do this until Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is going to be your great victory. It's when you're going to see changes like you've never seen. But you've got to set your mind up. It's 6 weeks of battle. And my friend, my brother, it's going to be a battle. Your first few days, you're going to think this is hopeless. The devil's going to tell you, this is crazy. All that mind stuff, it ain't working. Because he knows the power. He knows the thousands of people that have been delivered by this simple battle plan of action. And he'll try to convince you to quit before you get into the fourth or fifth week and start seeing the results. He'll convince you because you have more failures than successes, you'll never make it. But make a liar out of the devil. And make your mind up. You're going to go forward. Let's clap our hands to God and praise Him. Praise God. Forgive me. Impurity is a bully with a glass chin. How many of you remember that bully in school? I remember one year when I was in fifth grade. There's this guy that he was always picking on me. He was always picking. I remember every day he would just pick on me. And I have no idea why I did this because my parents taught me you don't fight. That's what my parents taught me. But I was walking out of English class. And I was walking down towards the next class and here he comes. So he's bullying me around. And I finally turned around as I came to the bathroom and I pushed him. I said, come on in. Let's get it on. And he looked at me. I said, come on. I said, I'm tired of this. And he walks in. I'm not kidding you. He went from a bully to, you know, I was just messing with you. It's all right. He didn't want to fight the man on the moon. But I was tired of it. I was ready. Get beat up, unbeat up. You know, I'm tired of getting pushed around. And that's the problem with most bullies. They got a glass chin. They want you to, their power is as long as you run. As long as you hide your sin. And the problem with our movement is, we've been taught for years, don't tell anybody. If you tell somebody, they'll destroy you. But that's not God's way. God's way is when the searchlight comes on, we may experience humility during the time of restoration, but when we're restored, He restores us the fullness of power, and then we can live in victory because that bully has no more power over us. You don't have to hide. You don't have to sit in the back and be afraid if someone finds out, I'll never have a ministry. I'll never go anywhere. I'll never do anything. That's hogwash. God wants you delivered. That type of thinking empowers. It feeds this thing. And that's why men can go 20 years living in sin and be in position. And when it comes out, it wrecks everybody's lives. Why? The tallest trees take more out when they fall. The taller the tree goes, the more it destroys when it falls. That's why right now in this room, I want men that are godly, men that are not afraid to face failure and say, you know what, I blew it, but we're going to do better next time. Not sit in darkness and hide your sin and think you're okay. Stand up to the bully. He's got a glass chin. If we were genetic, if this impurity was genetic, we'd be helpless. But since impurity is a habit, it can be changed. That's our hope. If it's a habit, it can be changed. What do you do with bad habits? You simply replace them with new and better ones. If you can practice a new habit 6 weeks, that habit will replace the old one. It's the way God made us. Every human being on the face of the earth is the same way. Amen. Our lives love both the sexual and our bad habits that arise from our malice. Your flesh loves it. We have a bad habit of seeking cheap thrills from any dark corner we may stumble into. We've habitually chosen the wrong way, and now we must habitually choose the right way. Brother, you've got to hang on. You're getting way ahead of me. Amen. We must habitually choose the right way. Amen. Probably the next one. I'll just tell you. Amen. When we're not guarding our eyes, mind, and heart, then we are under a pressure, a deadline. And we fight with our wives. Or if we feel unloved and unappreciated, then we feel compelled to sin sexually and we can't say no. I can't tell you how many men come to me and say, I was doing great until I had to fight with my wife and everything caved in. But somehow you feel you have an entitlement. You have a right to that sin. Because you worked hard and you feel sorry for yourself. Or whatever. Once you get your eyes and mind under control, the impurity will wither away on its own. So you know what our problem is? We set our eyes on the impurity. We try to fight it with fasting and prayer and I'm going to do better and commitments and this and that. But when you set in place of guarding your eyes, of guarding your mind, and we're going to talk about guarding our heart. Once those guards are in place and you cut off the flow of sensual, sexual images and things that are ungodly in writing or whatever else, the impurity just goes away. And that almost seems too simple. But that's the way it is. Impurity not only lives by a habit, but it also works like a habit. The same is true for purity. Once we set a habit in concrete, how do you set a habit in concrete? It takes 6 weeks. Everyone say 6 weeks. Amen. It's getting a little warm, Brother McCoy. It's getting a little warm. Once we set that habit in concrete, then you can forget about it. That's what's great about habits. Once you set a habit, you can forget about it. It works for you. That's the beauty of it. Amen. It's the way God made us. The habit will take care of business with little conscious thought, enabling us to focus our attention on other things. Don't be weary with the battle. If you can hang in there just a little longer, the habit of purity will get a foothold and it will fight for you. How many already in the past 2 days you've been exercising some of these things? Well, God bless you. Amen. Keep on fighting. Keep on going forward. This is one reason why I have accountability forums out there. And once again, last week, on Tuesday, I encouraged each of you to find an accountability partner. Find someone you can trust. Connect with them. And learn to be confidential. Learn how to keep things to yourself and not tell your wife. There's great value in that. And man, when you find an accountability partner and you start getting down and start getting honest, don't suddenly feel the need to change accountability partners. Hello? You're ruining the habit of it. You're ruining the beauty of it. Amen. You see, when you're not praying daily and feeding on the Word, your carnal man takes control. And I'll tell you, people who continue to avoid the accountability measures I've put in this church, there are people that haven't filled out one accountability form. They're leaders. They don't feel. You know why? I'll tell you why. They're only accountable to themselves. When you're only accountable to yourself, you're a dangerous leader. You've got to. Power comes through accountability. God bless those of you that pick up one of those sheets almost every week and fill them out. Is it a hassle? Absolutely. But you're going to pay a price to live holy and to live godly. And there's power in that. Amen. You know, every month when I pick my phone up and call my accountability partner, is it a hassle? It can be at times. There are times I don't want to talk. But I thank God I've put that in my life because it helps me stay honest with myself. Amen. If you can't be honest with your accountability partner, don't even mess with it. Don't just do it to do it and lie. Come on now. Open up. You'd be surprised how you could help one another. Amen. Next slide. Currently, your impure habits claw and clutch. You sin without thinking. I mean, you become amazed how many times you sin by viewing things you shouldn't, but you even think about it. Because you become used to it. Your eyes bounce towards any short skirt that moses by. That's your maleness. That's the habit you're in. With the habit of purity in place, when a woman's dress flies up on a windy day, you'll look away automatically without even thinking. Why? The habit is working for you. If you even wanted to peek, you would have to force your eyes. Simply because you formed the habit of looking away. You'd have to force yourself to take a look. You see, impurity of the eyes and mind lives like a habit, but fights like an addiction. Many habits are addictive. What works best with sexual impurity? Cold turkey. Not working up to it. Not trying a little. If you try just a little bit and step, you're going to fail. If you give it a half shot, and you got to make your mind up. Cold turkey. Starting tonight, I'm bouncing my eyes. I'm not, you know, when that woman walks by in the tight skirt, I'm going to look away. When that woman bends over and reveals her shape, I'm going to look away. When I walk through the grocery store and that magazine's sitting there, I'm going to look away. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to view the things I shouldn't be viewing. And when you make your mind up to do that, you got to make your mind to go cold turkey. Amen. Tapering down does not work. Tapering down brings the possibility of binges that could go on for days. I talked about masturbation on Tuesday. Masturbation is a sexual addictive nature because it's gaining sexual gratification without the intimacy of having a woman. I know this is a touchy subject, but I'm just going to empower you. You decide what you want to do. I'll just teach you. You take it, and you go which way you want to go with it. Amen. Trying to stop masturbating after a few days allows, then go and allow sexual interest to come in, then masturbate. Then you say to yourself, well, since I failed, I might as well just go ahead and fail big. And then you will masturbate 2-3 times a day for the next weeks before you can get control again. And this is a cycle so many people go through. Cold turkey it must be. But how? By totally starving your eyes of all things sensual besides your wife, if you're married, and starving your eyes, period, if you're single. You can expect an inner urge to fail. You're accustomed to satisfying a portion of your sexual hunger through your eyes, anytime, anywhere you please. And there you go again. There's a certain amount of sexual gratification that comes through just simply viewing sensual images. This demanding hunger runs to the only pantry left when you starve your eyes. And that pantry is your wife. This will require patience, willingness, and understanding from your wife until a balance is found. And next Tuesday, Sister Arcovio is going to sit down and talk plain to some of the women. Because what's going to happen is, when you go and start bouncing your eyes, and you start guarding your heart, and all these little sexual gratifications you got during the day, when you come home, all of a sudden your wife is going to become extremely appealing to you. And she's going to wonder, what has got into you? She's got to be understanding until you can find a balance. Amen. You'll find that even in the subconscious state of the mind, in dreams, you'll choose purity. I found this out after I had put these defenses in place. And I had gone months in purity, not allowing my eyes to wander, not allowing myself to view anything that would cause sensuality. I used to battle my dreams. Sometimes I'd have extremely sensual dreams. Where in the dream, I would literally fail morally. And I would wake up trembling, thinking, my life's over. I've destroyed my ministry. I've hurt the church. I've destroyed. And to my relief, it was just a dream. But it was so real. It was scary. But when I set the boundaries, and I had gone several months, bouncing my eyes away, not partaking of magazines or internet or video or anything that was sensual, or choosing to look away. If I pop a video in, and I'm sitting back to watch my family, and all of a sudden, I was watching Little Nemo today. Little Nemo! You know Little Nemo? Come on, somebody. And there's a trailer at the beginning with Charlie's Angels. Nothing but TNA show. You need a dictionary on that one? Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I had to look away. Where's the remote? Get past that. Kids video. But you gotta choose to bounce your eyes away. And not sit there and say, oh, it's okay. It's a kid's video. Come on, guys. And sit there and take it all in. No. But I found myself in dreams walking away from immorality. You can't control your dreams, but that's power. When someone's coming in a dream and they're offering you, you say, no, thank you. You wake up thinking, Jesus, you're awesome. God, because something's working on the inside. Purity always brings opposition. Expect warfare. Expect it. Don't expect to talk to your co-workers, non-Christians, about this and them understand. You go to work, you know, it's all around you. If oppressed or obsessed, then there's a greater intensity. If your sexual addiction has gone into oppression or obsession, you're going to have an accountability partner. someone who I suggest every week for the next 6 weeks, you choose a day where you talk, either by phone or sit down and have a cup of coffee. And just, how's it going? You balancing the eyes? You avoiding the internet if you're into internet pornography? Let me tell you something. If you're bound for that kind of stuff, I'll tell you again. Cut the cable. Get rid of the internet. Do whatever you have to get the junk out of your life, to get a balance. Amen. Amen. I know there's people that can have internet, and you can keep a boundary. But you know yourself, and you better be honest with yourself. And you better be honest with your accountability partner. And you better be able to say, you know what? Man, I messed up on Tuesday. And I was, you know, walking through the store, and there it was. I remember when I was walking through the, just recently, I was in England in August, walking through the London Heathrow Airport. And I had about 2 hours before my flight was going to take off. And I was walking past a newsstand shop, and I went in to get me a Toblerone candy. It's a chocolate candy about this big and comes in a square triangle thing. And I'm walking past the magazine racks, and there is lewd pornographic magazines open, sitting there. No plastic covers on them. And I mean, I stood there, war in a war. What was I going to do? I tell you what, let me, empower me to walk away and say, you know what? I'm not viewing that garbage. It was my heart that told me, you have no biblical right. Look at that woman. She's not your wife. You have no right. You look at it, you're a thief. You're a scoundrel. Thank God. I walked over, paid for my candy, and I walked as far away from that shop to the other side of the terminal as I could get. I thank God for that. Amen. The enemy will badge you with lies to break you because he doesn't want you to win the battle. You get your second week, you get your third week, he'll tell you, you're not going to overcome that habit. You're not going to do it. You just keep doing the good things to replace it and ignore his voice. Recognize the enemy's lies. The enemy will tell you, you're the only one dealing with this problem. If anyone ever finds out, you'll be the laughing stock of the church. Lie. You failed again. You'll never be able to train your eyes. It's impossible. Lie. Why live in this high state of alert for the rest of your life? Give up now and I'll quit badgering you. This is when you start getting closer to the victory. Come on, give in now and I won't tempt you so hard. Let me talk about conquering masturbation. I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're going to go to hell for masturbating. Then again, man, I'm teaching you something. You do what you want to do. I'm just going to try to empower you. You take it. But if you have a problem with masturbating, let me help you with some teaching here tonight. Masturbation is a symptom of uncontrolled eyes and free racing thoughts. It's just you've allowed yourself to view things you shouldn't outside of the context. If you're single, of your purity to God. If you're married, your desire to your wife. And your, for lack of better words, your let-off valve is masturbation. When you create new habits of balancing your eyes and taking your thoughts captive, the urge to masturbate will cease. There's no sense in targeting masturbation itself, saying, I'm going to quit it. I'm going to stop. Because you won't be attacking the real source of the problem. The real source is your eyes and your mind. Control your eyes and your mind, that will fall into place. You know, you'd be surprised how many men, even who are married, masturbate. Maybe because their wife doesn't fulfill them sexually. Or maybe, you know, they're not getting sex often enough. Whatever justification you have made, it's not right. Why? Because any sexual act that you involve yourself in does not involve intimacy, love, connection, relationship. It's sexual addiction. It is not true intimacy that God intended. I had some people tell me, well, you know what? I masturbate and think about my wife. Well, you know what? I'll leave that one alone. That's between you and God. You see, not only does pornography encourage the readers to create an image in their mind. Let me talk to you about what pornography does to you. When you click on that link to go to that sex site, or you pick up that magazine, or you watch that rated R video, and you see that steamy sex scene, which is not biblically your right to see. It entices you to fantasize about that which you've seen after the fact. Usually, these fantasies involve an erotic act that can only be satisfied either with somebody or by masturbation. Once the image is created in your mind, then the picture actually becomes an idol. The habit of masturbation becomes an act of worshiping that idol you set up in your mind. Eventually, it creates a stronghold of the mind and becomes a trap, resulting in habitual masturbation. Wanton masturbation tied to pornography or whatever is always sin, and it will put distance between you and God. If you desire holiness, you must stop masturbating. Accountability partners. If you enlist accountability partner, don't make it a male, but don't make it a wife, and please don't make an accountability partner a female. That's disaster. Choose someone you can trust, someone who is spiritually mature. Choose someone you know truly cares about you and has your best interests at heart. Men, let me caution you here. Maybe some of you went home and shared some things with your wife. Be cautious how much you share with your wife. It often helps to pray and wait until you change and your spouse comes and says, "Hey, what's up?" Because guess what? Something's going to be up. Sorry for the pun. Then you can share things with her in counseling. Once your wife begins to understand the battle you're waging with your eyes and minds, then she can help you. And young man, I'm so sorry. I apologize for... I shouldn't kid like that. Next one. Let me help you singles, okay? I'm not going to leave you out there high and dry and have to go home and get a cold shower here. You must believe by faith that once you get your eyes and mind under control, the sexual pressure will drop dramatically. I'm telling you, when I was single, I went 3.5 years, did not masturbate one time, did not have one sexual contact with a woman, and did not want to. Not because I had desire for some other situation. I was sold out to Jesus. But I was guarding. I did these things long before I ever came across this teaching. Guard my eyes. Feed on scriptures. I used to take scriptures and I would write them out and paste them to my wall in my apartment. My apartment didn't have pictures on it. I had one little bed, I had one little table, and I had paper taped from one end of the apartment to the other of this. I thank God I kept all these crumpled papers. I have them all folded in a box in my attic. Because you know what? For 3.5 years, I ate, slept, drank, lived Jesus. I lived the Word. And that was my salvation. That's why I could stay pure and not have sexual contact from the age of 19 until I got married at 30. So it can be done. But if I've been out there reading stuff, seeing stuff, watching videos that were sensual, that unlocks the Pandora box of sexual temptation. I made a choice as a young man to not even have a video player or monitor in my apartment. Period. That was my choice. That's how bad I wanted to stay pure. That's for free. Understand, you bring most of the sexual pressure onto yourself through visual stimulation, eyes, and mental fantasy, conjuring images. Another thing, young men, one thing God has supplied is called nocturnal emissions for a 72-hour buildup. It means every 72 hours, your body emits semen. Naturally, it's called a wet dream. That's somehow that came up in gym class. It's not something wicked, not bad. It's God's beautiful design because a man every 72 hours, you have a semen gland that produces semen, whether you have sex or not. And if that pressure builds up, at the end of 72 hours, there is sexual tension in a man's psyche. And if that pressure is not released, he suffers a sexual tension. God designed every 72 hours for that release. So that's for men that maybe your wife only has sex with you once every 2 months. I don't know if there's anyone here like that. No one's ever counseled me about this stuff. But man, Star COVID is fixing to teach some women some pretty strong stuff in the next 2 weeks. It's going to help your wives understand the biblical role of a wife. Amen. But you can this is one way God helps you. And I would have nocturnal emissions with no sensual dreams or anything tied to it. It would just naturally happen. It's just a way. See, when you begin to break it down to science and to just how God designed this, it's not a mystery. It's not something that's way out there. And you know. Also, what I found is, as a young man, jogging would help me. Because you got to have some way to release that tension. And if I would jog 3 times a week or get involved in some physical sport, it helps with the sexual tension that every young man faces. That builds up in your body. It usually begins about 16, is about the time young men start producing semen in their testicles. And it goes until you're probably 70. So once it starts, get ready. It's going to be the way, it's going to be a thing of life. It's just learning how to manage it and live holy and living righteous above it. Amen. Cut off all sensual images. Everyone say cold turkey. Doesn't mean get rid of it. I mean, hopefully some of you have already gone home and cleaned out house. Amen. The visual sensuality of immodest dress, movies, commercials, and all the rest will feed your eyes and ignite you sexually. The addictive nature of the chemical response in your brain, pleasure centers, spins a tight cord of bondage. To break these cords, you must cut off sensual images. Next one, please. Victory with your eyes. So first of all, say bouncing your eyes. That's whenever that dress walks by, when that image is there, or that thing flashes on that screen, look away. Bounce your eyes away. Bounce, 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 bounce. I practice everywhere I go. Walk to the airport. Oh, there's one. Bounce over here. Oh, bounce, bounce. I mean, you can do it. You just train yourself to do it. And starve your eyes. Everybody say starve your eyes. Don't let your eyes behold anything that's ungodly. Or read print that is sensual. Describing sexual acts. That's right. Take up a sword and shield. A sword and shield is the word of God. In faith. Let's talk about balancing the eyes. You can win this battle by training your eyes to bounce away from the sights of pretty women and sensual images. If you balance your eyes for 6 weeks, you can win this war. Say, I can win this war. The problem is your eyes have always bounced towards the sexual, and you've made no attempt to end this habit. Now, to combat it, you need to build a reflex action by training your eyes to immediately bounce away from the sexual. It's just like the jerk of a hand from a hot stove. That's how it's got to be. Lusting, my friend, is not staring, open mouth, drooling at that woman. It's any look that creates that little chemical high, that little pop, that little twitch down below your belt. The chemical high happens more quickly than you really realize. You need to draw the line in the sand at immediate, which means not 2 seconds later, not after you've got a good eyeful, right away, before that chemical high can trigger in your body. When you start bouncing your eyes, your body will fight against you in peculiar ways. You see, sexual sin has an addictive nature, and your body will not want to give up the pleasures you've been giving it. Study yourself. How and where do you find yourself attacked the most? Then define your defense for each of the greatest enemies defined. Now, on the next page, I want you to list 7 of your most your personal greatest visual enemies. Let me give you an example of some of mine that were my visual enemies that caused me to become lustful in my thinking, in my mental capacities, in my eyesight. Any movie that was PG-13 or greater. Sensual TV programs. Internet sites. Victoria's Secret type catalogs. Yeah. Pull out lingerie ads. You see, when those magazines come in, first thing I do is, I didn't order them. I didn't ask for them. They just show up. What's in there? You know what's in there. First thing you gotta do is get rid of them. Secondly, if you're gonna reach for that Sears ad, you gotta stop and tell yourself, that's it. Wait a second. Oh, I'm just looking for some tools. Well, the tools are in the back, Jack. The rest is up front. I don't know why it is, but all the bra ads are at the very front. You gotta tell yourself, if you can really look at the tools, pick it up and turn it over backwards and start looking from the backboard. Yeah. Your mind will play tricks on you and will tell you, oh, you're just wanting to do this because it knows that you've fallen before. Immodestly dressed women. So right now, this is just for your benefit. Write down some of the visual enemies that you know. Now remember, this list should remain confidential, but it should be one of the first things that you reveal to your confidential partner when you set them this week. And I want every one of you to have a confidentiality partner before Friday comes. Before the weekend comes. Somebody that you can confide in, that you can talk to. Now make sure you choose visual weaknesses, not atmospheres like in the shower. I mean, that's not something visual. That's just an atmosphere. Or working late. I mean, for me, where I would fall the most is when I was up working at 2 in the morning. For some reason, I was tired, I was exhausted, and just before I go to bed, the devil would hit me. Why don't you look at this? Why don't you go do that? And I learned to recognize that was a weak place. But you got to first attack the things you're doing, the visual things that you're letting in. So write down 7 of the greatest visual enemies that you face that have caused you to sin sexually. Now, some of you are not writing, but you know what? It's your choice. I can throw you a life preserver. You can either grab it and save yourself, or you can drown. It's your choice. I gave you some of my lists. Once again, PG-13 or greater movies. Sensual TV programs. Commercials. Internet sites. Victoria's Secret top catalogs. Pull-out lingerie ads, low-cut dress flashes, immodestly dressed women. So just think for a moment. What makes you fall? If you don't come up with 7, that's up to you. But I think if you don't come up with 7, you're still trying to live in denial. And that wasn't a slam against you, Brother Brad. It's just a statement. I think if you really think about it, there's a difference between a female jogging on the road and a woman walking through the mall. That's 2 different sensual images. You can't group those 2 together. Just think about the times in the past 2 months that you've allowed yourself to look at another woman and you knew you were lusting over her. Just exactly. Thank you, Brother Rex. And that's honesty. And I appreciate him saying that. Because that is the truth. I promise you, you have at least 100 a day. Billboards, magazines at the counter. I mean, come on. There you go. Again, that's why we have a code on this platform. Aren't you glad you've got to look up here at some woman in a miniskirt? Thank God for godly dress. I mean, just the cover usually is enough to get your motor running. Come on now. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm just saying what you feel has... Okay, next one is starving the eyes. Once again, don't even look, pick up the ads. If you're looking for tools, start from the back. Always check your motive. Rip off the covers of magazines with sensual images. Better yet, get rid of them. Cancel the subscription. Use peripheral vision to avoid looking at a female jogger. And here's a big one. I've done this. Bouncing my eyes, I'm saying, you know, you can, what's peripheral vision? You know, look at the spot on the road. You can't use peripheral vision in lust. It just don't work. You're driving along, just fix your eye on something, like something off the road and keep driving. But then what's happening is once it's passed and you relax and go, whew, and the mind will say, look at the rearview mirror. Guard the back door. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you. Here's another trick he does. You're driving along and there's this woman. There's this woman always cutting her grass at Carnes Road where I live. And I pass there every summer. She's out there in a bikini top and tight, tight shorts. I mean, every week sometimes. I'm driving along, and the mind says, what kind of mower is that she's using? Yeah, I'm telling you, come on now. Or, hey, do I know that person right there? I've never known him. It was just a trick of the mind to get its little pop, its little thrill, its little sensual high. Next slide, please. Remember where sensual billboards are. Especially if you're driving through Kansas City. And take a different route if you have to. Or bounce the eyes. If you drive by the same billboard every day, find another way to drive. Or know, okay, half a mile, there's going to be that big boob board or whatever it is. Just bounce your eyes away. Zap all beer and bikini commercials. This is for those of you that maybe you watch a ball game or something. Get it or turn it off. Amen. There's not a commercial during a ball game that's anything but a beer and bikinis. Learn to say, I will not allow myself to look at that. If you fail, check your TV watching. TV watching becomes a fall for you, then forfeit the ability to ever see anything. Even if it is just a game. Any video unsuitable for the children is also unsuitable for you by yourself in your bedroom. Don't ever watch a video just because you're adults. That's a good guideline. Watch out for those receptionists who bend down with the loose blouses or bend over. Anticipate these things. You walk in and there's that receptionist. Hi, how you doing? Who are you here to see? I'm here to see Dr. So-and-so. And you know what's going to happen. Oh, let me check your thing. You know, blump. You get that 3-second look. Anticipate it. And look away. Anticipate the moves and avert your eyes before that nice view of her rear presents itself when she bends over to look for a file. When all the junk food snacking we cut out, you starve your eyes, you will deeply crave the real food of your wife's sexuality. This newfound hunger will surprise her. She may have been accustomed to providing you 5 bowls a week while you dine on 5 bowls of junk sex. You'll find yourself saying things like, I can't wait for tonight, baby. It's all right. It's great in marriage. You'd be surprised after about 3 weeks of starving your eyes how your desire for your wife will be rekindled to your newlywed state. You'll be constantly telling her how beautiful she is, all over her, hugging her, touching her, kissing her. Woo! Amen. She does a good job. With all of your desires being focused on her, it may take time to find equilibrium. This will reveal how much you've been stealing from your wife by watching sensuous movies, internet, things of that nature. I remember the 4th week my wife was going, what is up with you, honey? And I told her after the 4th week. And she was so happy that I was trying to rekindle my love for her that I had when we first got married. Amen. And after a while, you have to find an equilibrium. There's no wife in the world that's going to put up with bouncing in bed every night. I'm sorry, I'm just talking to you plain, folks. Your sword and shield. While you're waging battle to bounce the eyes and starve the mind and eyes, the enemy fights with lies, and your body fights desires and strengths of deeply entrenched bad habits. You need your sword. It's an attack verse. That's why I chose Job 31 and 1. I've made a covenant of my eyes. I've made a covenant of my eyes. Check out that bait. I've made a covenant of my eyes. Look at that magazine. I've made a covenant of my eyes. Look at that internet. I've made a covenant of my eyes. When you fail and look at a jogger, tell yourself, no, you've made a covenant of your eyes. Eyes, you can't do that. I mean, not out loud. I mean, people can look at you like, okay. But, you know, just tell yourself that. If you're in your car, you can do it. You know, don't do it at Walmart. Amen. Eyes, what's wrong with you? Coming all black and blue. Your shield. Next slide. A predictive verse that you can reflect on and draw strength from, even when you aren't in the direction. So the sword is what you take out when you're in the battle. Nope. Eyes. Covenant. Nope. You're not thinking about that mind. Mind's still on the Lord. Then you got to have a scripture you memorize. Put it on a card. Slip it in your pocket. My scripture was Ephesians 5 and 3. But fornication in all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named amongst you as becomes saints. It's not even right one time to drop a sexual innuendo to somebody on the job. You know, every single man in this room has been guilty of this. And you can sit back and think yourself righteous, but you know what? Go right ahead. One day you'll wake up and you'll realize that you need help. Every single one of us here, somewhere, while we've been Christians, full of the Holy Ghost, you let your guard down, attract to somebody, drop a line that you knew was sexual in nature. You got to cut those things out. Amen. Next one. Here's another good shield. 1 Corinthians 6, 18-20. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexual sins against his own body, do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have not received from God? You're not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Repeat this scripture in the face of temptation. I'm going to honor God with my body. I'm not my own. I can't do whatever I want to. I can't look at everything I want to. You have no right to look at that. You have no right to think about that. You've got to do that to bring your body in this direction. You haven't the authority. You see, if we live within our rights, then God's laws of sowing and reaping protect us. But when you step beyond your rights, then those same sowing and reaping laws work against us. That works for everything in your Christian walk. When you're in your rights, you're obeying God's word, all the sowing and reaping blesses you. When you step out, that same sowing and reaping that God bless you curses you. Because what you sow, that will you reap. Here's what to expect during this 6-week battle. Your first 2 weeks, you have a lot of failures. You struggle to train your eyes to bounce away from the sexual. Keep plodding ahead in faith and obedience. Let me tell you something. Any idiot in this church comes to you and tries to tell you, you know, I don't know what that pastor's talking about. I don't have any problems with that. Tell them to go jump in the lake. Because it's nothing more than self-righteousness raising its ugly head. Every man in this room needs this. Period. So the first 2 weeks, train your eyes to bounce away. Keep plodding ahead. No matter how many failures you have, keep plodding ahead in faith and obedience. In your third and fourth weeks, hope will begin to dawn on you because you'll begin to win the battle of control of the eyes more often than you fail. And you'll begin to become surprised how much you begin to live to please your wife. And now, next week I'm going to start talking about honoring your wife. There's a real secret to having a happy marriage. And that's your wife becoming your ewe lamb. Becoming the precious one in your life. Someone endeared to you. That you tenderly care for and love. And you want to nurture her. And it's you know, God loved Uriah. Because his love for Bathsheba was so great. When David sinned with Bathsheba, she was a beautiful woman. And David says, hey, come home. Go lay with your wife. Is that what he said? He was intending. Uriah said, no. How can I? When they're out there sleeping in tents. And he slept at the door of the king's palace for 3 nights. And refused to go home. There's something about that that God loves. When you have an endearment. Your wife is your precious ewe lamb. Because that's what happened when Nathan the prophet came. He came and told the story. He said, a stranger came. And there's a man that brought up a precious ewe lamb. From a birth. It's all he had was that one ewe lamb. And this stranger had more than he could handle. And he came and took. That's what happens when you look at things you shouldn't look. You're taking things you have no right to take. And God's against you. God's judgments are against you. God's not happy with you. But when you choose to tenderly cherish your wife, and it doesn't come natural to us. That's what the Bible says, husband, love your wives. It's not a man's nature to love his wife. It's not within us. That's why the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to husbands. Nor is it within a woman's carnal nature to submit to a man. It's within a woman's carnal nature to be self-willed and stubborn and rebellious. That's why you've got to train yourself to be tender. And in the mornings when you get up, hug your wife. Kiss her on the cheek. Tell her I love you. When she cooks that meal, say, give her another hug. Kiss her again. Say, baby, thank you for that meal. Do things like this and you're going to find out that she's going to respond to you. Amen. When she becomes precious to you. And this, everything we're doing, you'll begin to live to please your wife. You won't mind doing little things to help. Helping with the homework. Helping with the kids. Helping with this and that. Because she's precious to you. You're not going to mistreat her. She's someone you love. And you want to gingerly and carefully care for her. That's not in our nature, man. It's our nature to just be mean and near and just whatever else. But this helps. On your 5th and 6th weeks, your eyes will find a consistency in bouncing away from the sensual. Spiritual oppressions and obsessions will become broken. Long-term results. As you continue to live purely, the hedge of protection from temptation grows thicker. You begin to see generational sins become broken. I can look at parents' children and tell parents aren't free. Just watching their kids. Your kids model what and who you are. I thank God. Amen. But like I told you the other night, it gives hope for your kids. My son don't have to face the things I face as a teenager. Because I'm breaking generational curses. I told you this story last week, standing in the line. Sir Kogut told me this. Sensual magazine sitting there. He's becoming aware of sensual things. Walking through the line, he looked up and his eye saw that sensual magazine. And she said she watched him and he looked away. Why? Because he's seen his dad do it so many times. You can get to the point where your hedge of protection is so thick, you don't have any problems with it. You've overcome it. You've lived in victory for so long. It's not a problem for you anymore. Long-term results. After a year or so, nearly all skirmishes will stop. Balancing your eyes will become deeply entrenched in your spirit. Your brain, now policing itself tightly, will rarely slip anymore, having given up long ago on its chances to return the old days of pornographic highs. And finally, session 3, we're going to cover victory with your mind. We'll talk about your Mustang mind, how your mind loves to wander and just pull from every memory it can. And see, that's the last greatest battle. Long ago, I corralled these eyes. Long ago, I took care of, but the mind is still a battle. Daily. You have to infuse it with scripture. Infuse it with prayer. Humble it with fasting. You gotta put a corral around your spirit. And say, mind, you're not gonna wander. You're not gonna be like that Mustang that just goes and looks and does what it wants to, but you're gonna bring it under corral. Jason, you're going on the job? I've had it. Not that I'm some Don Juan. Some woman walking up saying, hey, I'm gonna get a drink. Hey, you wanna go do this? But when your corral door shut, it's like, I'm sorry. You gotta guard that door. No one else comes in this corral. The one that God gave me. Amen. Just helping you, men. You know, you take a big chance when you open up. But I'd rather be honest with you. Straightforward. Even to the point of humiliating myself before you. Excuse me. Take that chance. And know in this room, some men have been battling. And I know not every man in this room is bound by pornography, or many of you have strived to live holy. But everything I've hit here, you struggle with. Why? I'm your pastor. I watch over your soul. And it's because I don't come and say every little thing I see. I watch these things and I pray over them. But God definitely spoke to my heart to teach this to you, because when you reach the place of spiritual purity, you have a clear and open channel to God. To be able to walk with Him. Talk with Him. Most men, sexual impurity is the number one thing that clouds their spirituality. The problem with most men, they go down the path of denial. Of hide it. And they hide it for so long. And they lie to themselves for so long. And you can lie to yourself so long that literally it actually becomes truth to you. It's truth. Because you've believed that lie for so long that nothing's wrong. You've hidden it and hidden it and hidden it. Pushed aside and learned to worship over it. There's nothing like the freedom of being free from sexual immorality. I want every one of you men here tonight to know I love you dearly. My desire to bring this to you, and those of you that I've dealt with you on issues, I've not crushed you. But I do want to see you delivered. I do want to see a church that is holy, that lives for God. That when we grow, and we're running 300, God willing, I don't have to worry. You see, you know what the old way is? The old way is, you know, throw out the video monitor. Throw out the TV. Throw out the this. All that's good and well, but then the problem with that concept is these same men that throw out this, throw that, go to hotel rooms and indulge and binge. Because you can't set locks and guards on the outside. Your locks and guards have got to be right here. Right here and right here. And when you got these on, and you're guarding this, and you're guarding your mind, you won't fall into sin. You won't go into a hotel room, and you won't watch things you shouldn't just because, you know, whatever. You know, I'm telling the truth. This is a unspoken tension that comes over the Pentecostal movement. You don't deal with stuff like this because, but you know, go ahead, Jonathan, you got something to add. It's been, and I say our as Pentecostals, it's been our weakness to think if we just stick our head in the sand, it'll go away. And the few cases that pop up, the Sunday school directors that get caught in men's bathrooms having oral sex with men, you just kind of brush them aside and they disappear. And Oh, we don't talk about it. You know what? Let me tell you something, church. I'm not out to change that movement. I'm not changing Pentecost. What happens outside of St. Joseph is going to keep happening. But I'm going to empower you, man, to where you don't have to live lies of hypocrisy, lives of deceit, lives of bondage. But you can not be afraid. Yes, sir. Well, tonight, you've got 2 hours, 3 hours in the past 2 nights. Let me tell you something, church. There's a mindset. And as a pastor, I'm very perceptive. I'm not trying to be spooky. I'm just telling you. That comes with the territory of standing in this pulpit every week, working with you. I learn the flock. And I know for a fact there are people not sitting here tonight because I hit too close home. And they had to make a choice to either become honest with themselves and face what they're battling with, or slip off the side into their fake life of lies. But I'm learning something about God. This is His church. And all I can do is obey Him and teach. I commend you, men. God bless you. Thank you. I'm not going to worry about who's not here. I'm not going to be discouraged by that. But you, men, are going to rise up. And when 6 weeks are done, no matter how insignificant it may just be, the insignificance, but see, in God's eyes, that's how we are. Well, I'm not on the internet. I'm holy because I don't watch. But you sit back and you ogle those women. What you got to realize is there's no difference between jumping in the sack and committing adultery and doing it in your mind. Until you come to that realization, get rid of the whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones and thinking you're so much better and so much holier than anyone else because, well, I don't have internet pornography problem. I don't have this. I don't have that. But you secretly indulge in the things we've talked about tonight. My friend, not excusing internet pornography, but that's just as bad. You are just as sinning as viewing a woman, looking her up and down, letting her go first in line so you can look at her seat, watch her figure. That's just as much sin as clicking on an internet site, as sitting in a new dancing place, or committing sexual adultery. You see, I'm cutting across, and I'll continue. You know, I'll pastor this church as God has anointed me to. And the bottom line is, we have made some things. Commit adultery, you'll never preach again. But you can have spiritual pride. You know what? In God's eyes, there's no difference. You read David. David committed sin with Bathsheba. One child died. He numbered Israel. 70,000 died. You tell me what's the greater sin. And we have people come up in ranks that are so full of spiritual pride and arrogance. And you name it. And there's so much spiritual sins going on. Sit back and they... I've seen them. I hope I'm not shaking y'all up. I'm just trying to feed y'all good. I don't want to feed you the same old moldy meat you've been eating for 20 years that's been producing the bad results. I've seen the quote-unquote holy preachers. And I've watched them. As they walk past the swimming pools in our conference, checking out the women out there. But they were holy because they didn't have a TV. Come on somewhere. It's not without that defiles you. It's what you let inside. Put the guards up. Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. Guard your heart. Don't aim at things. Don't aim at problems. God will help you. Amen. Well, I love each one of you. Thank you for enduring this tonight. I want you by Sunday to please have an accountability partner. And let me tell you again, man, you see me at times get stern and I get aggressive and I say things strong. I'm not trying to beat anybody up or knock anybody down. I'm fighting spirits. Spirits that want to blind your eyes. And the most dangerous deception is a deception. That's what deception is. You don't realize you're deceived. How many can witness that? You've been deceived on